the fact that we know that not that remote viewing is non-local is that one of the things that has been found for 50 years is it is absolutely no harder to know the future than it is to know the present, absolutely no harder to know the far distance than the object I've got in my pocket, and that's what a physicist means by a non-local connection.
As far as the future, though, how can psychics and remote viewers predict or see the future when the future hasn't happened yet, or has it?
Well, we're in contact with the future. The idea that you're able to see the distance because there's no actual, there's no separation between us and the distant event. Similarly, in a non-local world, there's no separation between us and the future event. Now, I believe in causality. I believe that we live in a deterministic world, which makes it easier. As a physicist, I'm constrained to believe that events have causes. I think most people agree to that. But you have a certain small amount of free will, not much, much less than you think. And the amount of free will you have is determined by how great your ability is to get off of the ordinary mundane plane, the real plane, and move into the complex space-time where remote viewing takes place. The reason remote viewing works is that our awareness is able to move through space-time and experience things in the distance or in the future. You mentioned earlier Limitless Mind as well as The End of Suffering, and the difference between those two books is a very Buddhist idea about quieting your mind, about mindfulness. There are three aspects of mindfulness that I like to talk about. There's transcendent knowing, which is remote viewing, where you inflow information about the future. Limitless Mind tells you everything you want to know about finding your car keys, finding a parking place, predicting the future, investing in the stock market. It's a very pragmatic description of just what we did at SRI. So Limitless Mind, it's about transcendent knowing. The End of Suffering is about transcendent doing, which is using your intentionality to heal the sick, release pain, and transcendent being in which you're able to move yourself into the spaciousness and away from the things that make you suffer. So Limitless Mind is about learning to do remote viewing. If you want to be psychic, you want to invest in the stock market, that's something that can be done, and we can talk about that later. If you want to use this ability to quiet your mind and end your suffering, then The End of Suffering is the way to do it. Depending on whether you're interested in transcendent knowing or transcendent doing.
I got a call yesterday during one of my open line calls. Russell, you can answer this question for him better than I could yesterday, because he asked an interesting question. He said, we use our eyes to see, yet in remote viewing, it's as if you still see without your eyes. How can that be? I really didn't know how to answer it.
Well, Kenneth Ring, the psychologist you probably know, has done near-death experience work, has found that people who were congenitally blind are able to do remote viewing. It's as though they experience these things on their inner screen, which I find quite surprising. But even Helen Keller, who had not seen things, was able to describe things visually that she had handled and had experienced. So it's clear that remote viewing is beyond what you're able to see. That as Charles Leadbeater was able to describe atoms, this great theosophist of the early part of the 20th century, was the first person to talk about isotopic materials, where he was really Leadbeater who invented the idea of hydrogen having two isotopes of deuterium and tritium, because he saw them. In fact, he called deuterium occultium and drew pictures of what it looked like with with a neutron plus a proton.
Right.
Before anybody knew anything about it, he did that I've seen the book in 1898. He was talking about isotopic hydrogen. And so you can describe things far beyond what you're able to see. My vision is very poor, as you may know, but that doesn't interfere with my doing, for example, intuitive diagnosis, describing what it looks like inside a person's body, what's the matter with them, even at a great distance. Now, I'm not a spiritual healer, so don't write to me and ask to be healed. There are people, Judith Orloff and Mona Lisa Schultz, are physicians, and have written books about intuitive diagnosis. But I teach people now how to do intuitive diagnosis because it's anomalously easier.
And it's all connected, isn't it?
That's right.
The various aspects. The fact that you've been doing this now for well over 30 years, how good are you now? I mean, one could assume that as the years clicked by, Russell, you got very, very good. I would assume. Is that true?
I'm pretty good at some. I'm sort of a journeyman remote viewing. I mean, the practice is very good. It's like a musical ability. Anybody can learn to play a little Mozart on the piano if they practice for a few months. And I did that a few months ago. I began taking piano lessons and actually learned to play the piano much to my, as I had done as a little child. But it's not going to get me to Carnegie Hall, because although I'm a diligent practicer, I don't have any talent. Similarly, with remote viewing, I've had a lot of experience, and I'm in sort of a journeyman remote viewing. My kids used to call me for lost homework and lost car keys, and even people have called me for lost valuable things. But I'm not in the class of Joe McMonagle or Pat Price or Hella Hammett or Gary Langford or the other, because what I'm lacking is talent. I'm skillful, and I'm a powerful teacher because I can motivate people and tell them exactly what to do, but I'm not particularly talented in that regard. Now, I'm surprised at how easy intuitive diagnosis is, and I talk about intuitive diagnosis in Limitless Mind and The End of Suffering, because it pertains to both transcendent knowing and transcendent doing.
Why would it be easier?
Well, I talked to Judith Orloff, who's a physician, a well-known remote viewer. You've probably talked with Judith.
Sure have, yeah.
She feels that it's, first of all, you have the heart-to-heart connection. She's a very heartful person, and you care more about helping to heal the sick person than finding the bunny rabbit in the envelope or the stuffed animal in the box.
Right.
So it's a more meaningful task. And also, there's more of a resonance between you and the other person.